Right now, though, time to say hello to the television play-by-play voice of the Little Mavericks. That, of course, would be the great Mark Folliwell.
Oh, absolutely.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How are you gentlemen today?
Splendid.
Where does the vacation find you?
Isla Mujeres.
Ah, yes. Is that where...
Didn't Madonna do a song about that?
Not to my knowledge, Michael.
Is that where...
Maybe she did and I missed it.
Is that where Andy Dufresne ended up at the end of Shawshank?
No, other side of the country. That's the Watanejo.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been close to the Watanejo before, but not all the way. But I'll make it there someday. So Isla Mujeres is you fly into Cancun and you take a ferry here.
Nice.
Are you building a boat?
It's already built. I'm just like Andy Dufresne. I'm just sandpapering the bottom of it.
He's sanding it.
Nice and smooth.
He's sanding it and waiting on Doogie to walk down the beach so they can embrace.
Or Harp.
Or Harp, yeah. But, come on!
Are you shirt off right now, Mark?
I'm not. No.
Pants?
No, I actually just found a gym down here and just got back from that a little bit ago. So I actually got in a little workout on the treadmill. How about that?
Good on you. Good on you.
Pants?
Dedication, man. Dedication.
That's right.
Pants?
Yes. Shorts, anyway, yes.
All right, so we were kicking this around last segment, the power of Luka, and I know you're out there on vacation, but Brad Townsend wrote a great article on the marketing prowess that he has right now and just where he's at. And we were trying to figure out if we've seen anything like this before from, I guess, this soon, 3 or 4 months into somebody's career. And even going back through all the Cowboy greats through the years and guys that were shot out of a cannon, man, this just is so different, and it's only getting bigger. And, you know, on a global scale, there's no doubt this is as big as we've ever had in the city of Dallas.
Well, at least from a basketball standpoint, it is. And the thing with, you know, look, there are always going to be differences in the marketing of an individual when it comes to football as opposed to basketball, because you're just closer to basketball players and you see them, and there's just the individual is such an important aspect of the NBA game.
True.
But look, I don't think that you would need to say anything more to illustrate your point about his global reach than 4 million people voting him for the All-Star game. Even though it didn't work out for him to actually be in the All-Star team, you know, his fan base in Spain, his fan base in Slovenia and all over Europe, and obviously the one that's growing here in the United States, is clearly very, very significant.
The only comp we could come up with around here was Dave Hostetler.
The meteoric rise and fall of Dave Hostetler in the summer of, what, 1982, right, Mike?
Yes.
He had
yes.
1 month. 1 month.
It was a little longer than a month.
It was a hell of a month.
Yeah,
it was.
Yes,
it was.
If you're going to have, if you're only going to have 1 month, make it a month like that.
Yeah. That is true.
Really, the only guy we could come up with was Zeke.
Or Dak.
More Zeke than Dak.
You think?
Yeah. I do.
That was the quarterback of a 13-3 team, and in that team was the Cowboys.
Yeah, but Zeke was the best player.
But Zeke also had the baggage.
Yeah, that's true.
And Zeke couldn't monetize whatever he was doing like Dak could.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, maybe one of those two guys. But, you know, even then you get back into the global realm and American football doesn't translate, you know, all across the globe like this.
Yeah, and that's the difference that makes Luka an international star, is that you don't have the reach outside these shores that you have it in basketball that you don't have in football. So, and look, it's only going to get bigger and better, you would assume, from here. And, of course, the other thing that makes him different than anything else that we've had is, I mean, it could have happened with Dirk, of course, as we know, but that's not something that Dirk ever desired or craved or really sought out. I mean, he's been perfectly content, to be quite frank, passing up a lot of opportunities. I mean, one has to wonder what could have been out there for him had he chose to pursue those avenues from a marketing and endorsement standpoint. I mean, I think the number could have been very significant and, you know, staggering, to be honest, but that was something that just never interested Dirk. So I guess it's kind of interesting that this All-Star weekend is, you know, an example of doing it one way that is clearly here at the very end, and then an example of doing it another way that's at the very beginning. And, you know, both have their own merits, and one has been phenomenal to watch, and one I think will be.
Well, having been around him for a while and having a little bit more exposure to him than we have, although not the kind of exposure that you had to Dirk, any feel for just how jazzed Luka is by all this?
I think he's excited about being amongst the great players in the game this weekend. I'm not sure that he's somebody who is out there attention-seeking and craving that. You know, I think that we discussed a little bit last week, if you guys will recall, Luka's demeanor whenever the trade deadline happened and just kind of how sad he looked in that interview that he had on our broadcast after
yes.
the Barnes trade went down the game against Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned this to you guys last week, and I do think that this, you know, truly is the case, is that Luka doesn't crave attention, and he is happy to share it with his teammates and wants it to be about the success of the team. You know, does he understand that obviously he's on a big stage and there's a lot of focus on him? Sure, he does, but you guys have probably heard him interviewed. He isn't somebody that is drawing attention to himself. He's, you know, got clearly a pretty good sense of humor, but he's also someone that perhaps to some degree due to lack of fluency in the language yet, he's by and large part a man of few words when he's interviewed. He's actually far more comfortable. I think you guys know this. I think I've mentioned this before. If I haven't, he's infinitely more comfortable being interviewed in Spanish than he is interviewed in English. But it's getting there. It obviously will get better moving forward. And the ability to communicate better will presumably only enhance his opportunities to be a spokesperson for things if he indeed chooses to go that path and wants to do that.
I was at the basketball contest the other night against the Heat, which was not a very good second half. But
it wasn't a very good second half of that contest.
But I was listening to you and Jake and Damaris on the way home and on the postgame show, and you were talking about how the FSN cameras got in pretty close to what was going on between Dirk and Dwayne Wade, and you know, I saw some of the quotes and all that, but it sounded like, did it sound like to you that it was all very genuine, like that it was they
yes.
well, whatever? Okay, it did.
Yes, absolutely. Now, it was a little bit harder to hear what Dirk was saying, but I audibly heard Wade on two or three occasions say, thank you, this is a real honor that you're doing this, and thanks for everything that you've done, and I really appreciate this. He said multiple times phrases to that effect, or verbatim, as to what I just told you guys. So it seemed totally genuine. And I mentioned this yesterday on Twitter, and I know that these guys, I mean, we all know that these guys have had a fair amount of bad blood that, at least especially on Dirk's part, I mean, he certainly hasn't shied away from acknowledging that. However, they're both being honored this weekend with a special edition of the All-Star Game, and the press release when it came out said that they're being honored for not just being, you know, players with extraordinary careers and iconic champions, but beloved ambassadors for the game. And so I don't think there's anything that you could do to demonstrate being a more beloved ambassador for what the NBA and basketball is all about, and that it's bigger than any one or two guys, and certainly bigger than the wins and the losses, than for those guys to put aside whatever the nature of their rivalry is, you know, how heated it is, how bitter it is. Probably some of that's been embellished a little bit over the years, but no question that to some degree it existed, but those guys clearly put that aside because they realize it's the end, and you know, a gesture like that, I think, was being a great and beloved ambassador for the game.
Are you under the impression that if Anthony Davis can't go, that it's a shoe-in that Luka is the replacement, is the fill-in?
I'm not under that impression at all. Protocol typically is when there is an injury that occurs, the commissioner would pick the person who is highest amongst the players who didn't get voted in as reserves. As a matter of fact, an example of that happened in the Eastern Conference where the coaches had voted and Victor Oladipo was in the game, and the number one guy amongst the reserve players voted by the coaches who didn't make it was D'Angelo Russell of Brooklyn. And so once Oladipo was named an All-Star but had been hurt like the day before the teams came out, then that's whenever they announced at that point that D'Angelo Russell would be the guy to replace him. So that typically is the protocol. Whether or not Silver would change his mind because so many people voted for Luka and he didn't end up there. I don't know. And for all we know, Luka might be the number one guy in terms of coach votes for the reserves that didn't make it. But one would also have to feel like Rudy Gobert is probably pretty close to that as well.
Yes.
So, but now my understanding, the last thing that I read was that if everything responded favorably to treatment today, Davis said his intention was to play in the game. But that was a few hours ago that I saw that. So, you know, there's been beach time in between when I read that and my time chatting to you guys. I'm sorry.
Well, get your ass back out on that beach, Mark.
So you're telling me that we're looking at an all-star game with D'Angelo Russell in it, huh?
Dude, he's had a great year, man. He really has.
He's D'Angelo Russell.
He just had to get out of that L.A. St. Mike, and now he's in Brooklyn. And, you know, Brooklyn has made a big run this year, and they spent a pretty decent amount of the season a little bit over 500. And I think they're either a game over or a game under right now. But as you guys know, a game under 500 still adds you sixth or seventh in the Eastern Conference, which is the top four in the East. There's an arms race that's gone on there with all the things that happened in the deadline. And I think that's really exciting that the top of that conference is good. And somebody coming out of there might be able to give Golden State or whomever a good tussle. But it's still maddening that the bottom playoff teams of that conference will sneak in at 500 or conceivably even a couple of them a little bit below 500. That's not in the best interest of the league, but we probably don't have time for me to get on my soapbox about that.
Well, you just remember this. When he screws this whole thing up on Sunday, I blame it on you.
I'm going to try to find a place down here to watch it. So I don't think he's going to screw it up, but I will be keeping you in mind if, in fact, that does happen.
All right, Mark, get your pants on and enjoy vacation.
Wonderful to speak with you guys, and we'll talk next week, okay?
See you, buddy.
All right, adios.
Adios.
There he is. That is the television play-by-play voice of the Little Mavericks, the great Mark Folliwell.
Don't ever call here again.